we do have two on discussion. The first would be Conrad on the RRVW build grant letter of support.
Yes, that's correct. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So we were contacted last week by Dan Zink from the Red River Valley and Western. They are applying for the 2020 U.S. Department of Transportation's build grant. They did apply for the 2019 grant and were unsuccessful. In kind of their outbrief with the USDOT, they mentioned, you know, getting additional letters of support to support the 2020 grant, and they recommended, you know, potentially one of the agencies that does some regulating over you. And so Dan reached out to us, wondering if we would be, the commission would be willing to put forward a letter of support. I worked with Commissioner Fedorchek on this week about it, and we came to what we thought was a good draft of the letter and wanted to provide it to the rest of the commission to take a look at. I think it's a great idea to provide it. It's additional infrastructure updates that are needed for the Oaks area, and this is going to be a huge benefit to those rural communities and businesses along that line.
Commissioner Christman, any thoughts?
Well, I read that letter, and you know, that is an important area to try to maintain good rail service, and so I think at least making a good effort for a grant like that is important, and I support it. I do want to highlight on this, well, for our regular meeting orders, we just authorized staff who are in the office today to sign for us. I don't know that that's best look for to a federal agency, and so even if I had to drive into town to sign it, or if I think the ideal situation would be, and this is a question I guess for Matt or Steve, but do we have electronic versions of our own signatures that could be applied to this? Because like I said, I don't want to do this with staff signing for us.
Yes, I believe we do have. I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt. Yes, I believe we do have all of your signatures on file. So if you would authorize us to do that, we will do that.
I like that idea.
I agree.
Thank you, commissioners.
All right, thank you very much. No additional changes from any of the commissioners then?
No, I agree with Randy's suggestion on the signature, and I'm fully supportive of the letter.
Thank you, Conrad. You did a nice job with this and turned it around quickly, and I appreciate that Dan reached out and asked us for the letter, because it's something that I think is very much in line with what we need to be doing to support, you know, safety improvements and efficiency improvements in the rail system.
Absolutely. I was happy to do it. And we will go work on getting this taken care of and out to the RRVW. Thank you very much for the time, Commission.
Okay. Thank you, Conrad. The next item would be federal legislation related to collections and disconnects. Jack, are you on the line?
Commissioner, I am.
Okay, do you just want to take the lead and
sure,
or do you like?
I'd be happy to. I spoke with Chairman Karasius, and Naruk and a number of states are writing to the congressional delegation, and we spoke about also reaching out to our congressional delegation, and this is a result of some proposed federal legislation that many states are concerned essentially infringe upon state sovereignty and our ability to regulate our local utilities. I sent out all of you a copy of a possible letter that we can send out to our federal delegation yesterday. I know I received some comments back from Commissioner Christman, and I'll probably incorporate some minor edits that he suggested. However, nothing major or substantive. Did all of you have a chance to review it?
I'm looking at it right now, Matt, or Jack.
Sure. Yes, I did, and I'm fully supportive of sending this letter to our congressional delegation in Washington as well. I think it's without question severe overreach on the part of the federal government, and we are the ones who have to work with the utilities individually, the investor owns, and I think frankly just the approach that we've taken has been very effective, and we certainly don't need something at the federal level that I think amounts to nothing more than frankly grandstanding. But it also limits the state's ability to operate in a manner that they see fit. So I think we should send the letter, and I'm fine with any minor edits and whatnot. I think the message is essentially, it's not appropriate, and we ask you to oppose federal legislation related to that. So Commissioner Fedorchuk, would you take a little more time?
No, I just read through it, and okay, so I was just seeing there is the specific bill reference that we're opposing. So yeah, I think it's good. I like it, and I 100% agree that this is not a situation where the federal government should be applying a one-size-fits-all to issues that have very different, distinct impacts depending on the locality and the state and the region. So I think it's much better to have those solutions coming with us and working directly with the utilities. And I would also remind folks in Washington that we care an awful lot about the people that live right here in our community, in our state, and are very well equipped to make these kinds of decisions in their best interest. And I get offended sometimes when I feel like the federal government and leaders out there think they have to exert their power and their authority on us because we're not smart enough or caring enough to do it ourselves. So absolutely, I'll send the letter.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think, frankly, to me, it just reeks of political grandstanding in terms of taking the, it's almost akin to running to the front of a parade that's essentially already in place and completed, but it's maddening at times, but similar to the grant letter on the previous item, I would also be more than happy, since this is going to our congressional delegation, to also use our electronic signatures. If everyone's in agreement with that, Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Sounds good.
Yep. Commissioner Christman?
Yes, I'm good with that. I do have a concern I want to express about the letter itself, though.
Okay, go ahead.
So, toward the bottom of the first page is the sentence, and I've not read this federal legislation. We've only had this in front of us a short time, and I'm assuming that House Resolution 6379 forces these requirements on companies that the states ought to be regulating and are in fact regulating. So then when we say in the middle of the last paragraph on the first page that we've amended tariffs and provided waivers to enable utilities to assist customers during this time by suspending customer disconnections, waiving late payment charges, and reducing personal interactions during meter readings. Do we need to take any more steps to actually have carried out all these things? Like, we just did a meter reading case with one of our utilities, and last meeting we did another one. I'm not sure, and maybe Otter Tail doesn't have any of those in basements, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall that we've taken a step like that on Otter Tail's tariffs. Also, on at least one of the company's cases, I think we've allowed the company to use discretion about disconnections and late payment charges. And frankly, I think that's how it ought to be. But I just want to point out that then when someone who the company deems maybe able to make their payments, and so they don't suspend a late payment fee, or they go ahead and do a disconnect, this is going to be turned around on us potentially that, well, you said you had taken care of this and opposed this federal legislation, and now here they're doing it. So I'm just not sure if we need to take any more action if we're going to send this letter. That concludes my comments.
I mean, it's a good point that you bring up, and as I'm looking at it now that you mentioned it, let's see, we've provided waivers. Essentially what we've done is we have provided waivers. It doesn't say across the board, but we've granted waivers allowing or giving companies the ability to, or the flexibility to suspend customer disconnects, waive late payment charges, reduce personal interactions. If we worded it, tweaked it a little bit like that, it doesn't then indicate that, you know, if we've missed one component with one utility versus a 4 or 5 point checklist for each one. You know, basically I don't know if we want to get into the weeds with so many specifics now that you mention it.
Perhaps a solution, Mr. Chairman, might be to have our staff reach out to our utilities if there's anything in here that's missing and say, we don't want these disconnections right now or late payment charges. Maybe unless there's some extraordinary circumstances. I also don't want everyone to just say, I don't have to make payments for a while, because some of us can make our payments. But emphasizing to the companies that if there are any other tariff issues that require them to do these things, they need to bring it to our attention, because we've done some and there would entertain others, but that might be a possibility.
Jack, from a legal standpoint, are we reading this correctly, or are we overthinking it?
I think I certainly understand your concerns, because I guess specifically to those things that I listed there, I did have it written slightly different. It was written slightly differently before. However, we eventually reduced it just because I think my additional language to say, well, they're not all similarly situated, made it a little more confusing. Regarding the waivers, for disconnects and so forth, I think all the companies have actually approved the waivers for all those except for Xcel Energy. They're doing it on a case-by-case basis, but they're still waiving late charges and working with customers on an individual basis. Regarding the meter readings, I'm pretty sure almost all the companies are doing that as well. I guess I would have to verify with MDU, but we've been doing it as the companies have been requesting it and reviewing it and approving them. If you feel that we need to provide some additional language to clarify that, just so the congressional delegation is fully aware of what we have and haven't done, we could try to do something to make that clarification as well.
Yeah, is there a way just to tweak the language just a little bit so we can get this out today? Versus going back and forth with utilities who then have to track down people who are in all likelihood working out of the office as well, and then wind up being lucky to get it out this week.
We probably could provide I apologize. What was that?
I mean, is there just a way to tweak the wording just a little bit more? Because I know you changed the original draft, which was good. could it say the PSC continues to work with utilities to amend tariffs and provide waivers to enable them to assist customers during this time by, if we just tweaked it a little bit that way, then it's more broad brush, but it gets the point across. It lists the essential elements. We can continue cleaning up any, you know, loose ends, should there be any, and we can get the letter out right away.
We probably could do something like that, and I could work with one of you individually on that. Or we could, for example, provide some sort of language saying that we are working with each company individually on these matters to express that really they aren't all exactly the same, but we're all addressing all the things on individual company basis.
Mr. Chairman, this is Julie. Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
The sentence that Randy highlighted that's potentially problematic, if we just added a couple words in there saying the PSC has, and insert the language, has worked with regulated utilities on a case-by-case basis to amend tariffs, provide waivers, et cetera, et cetera, and just indicate like it's an ongoing conversation that's very tailored to the needs of each utility and its customers. So I think just inserting a few words in there to indicate that it's not a one-size-fits-all across the board might be enough to address the distinctions between the utilities that Randy's referencing. But I yield to Randy to say if that addresses his concerns or not.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with it. Randy?
I think something on that order would be fine. And I think Jack can put it together and do our electronic signatures, and I'll be fine with it.
Okay, perfect. So I think we have arrived at a consensus, and then I believe we should be able to, Jack, do you think it's possible then to get it out today?
Yes, I've already made the change. I can pass it along and get those signatures and probably get it out still this morning.
Okay, now one thing, Jack, I've been meaning to tell you or mention is I'd like to see you move a little faster on things. that's pretty quick. So thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So, okay. Then do we have any other discussion items that anyone would like to add?
Mr. Chairman, I would add at some point, maybe early part of next week, you guys are probably already talking about this, but I think we need to touch base about our staffing plans. I know Governor Burgum had asked for people who can still telecommute to do that. I just think maybe he'll be providing more direction to state agencies in coming days. But if he doesn't, I think next week, maybe we need to visit about that with our directors and make a plan for what the agency is going to do as our smart start.
No, I think that's an excellent point. Yeah, honestly, I asked this question to Steve and not directly related to that, but on May 1st, this Friday, what is the plan? Are we going to start coming back into the office? Because honestly, I don't know when we can rally the troops and start bringing people back in, or if it's, Steve, do we have any more clarity on that?
At this point, I don't believe we do have any more clarity on exactly when and how they're going to reopen the Capitol itself. We've got some indications on some of the businesses that have been restricted via executive order, but I don't believe we have any, at least not that I've seen yet, any direction on when the Capitol is going to open and under what conditions.
Okay. Do you think, I was just going to say, and then I think I heard Randy, but I was going to say, it might be beneficial, because I would imagine we have staff who are asking the same question. Well, does this mean that we come in on Monday? Do we continue working from home? And I think maybe sending something out to them that giving them as much clarity in a otherwise gray area as possible. So if you can do that, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Tom, we're working on it, however it's drafted. But Commissioner Christman?
Well, I was just going to throw in that I've been assuming that the previous order to encourage as much work from home as possible for, you know, capital and DOT building employees is going to be the case until we probably hear differently. Because, you know, one of the things, the guidelines for the businesses that are now able to reopen on Friday would be really tough to follow, in especially the Capitol building with four elevators and all those people arriving at, you know, roughly the same time, give or take an hour, and same way with leaving time and then lunches and elevator issues and such. So I'm assuming that they're wanting to keep it kind of to a minimum and are going to notify us of maybe a kind of a slow motion re-implementation of coming back to work. But I hope we hear from them with really what the plans are, because it's going to be, in my mind, important to get people back to work as soon as possible, but as soon as it's safe, so that we don't end up being a point of heavy spread in that building.
Yeah, that's a good point. Commissioner Fedorchak, I apologize if I drifted a little bit from your original point. Did we cover it, or are we still not at a resolution on your suggestion?
I think so. I do think a follow-up to staff is helpful, just to confirm the plan remains the same for now, and until further direction from the governor in the opening of state. So people should just continue to plan to work from home. That's how I read what was sent out yesterday. And maybe there'll be more direction coming from them, but I think that's probably helpful for staff to get anyway for now.
That seemed to be the general indication also on the HR discussions yesterday.
And okay. Mr. Chairman, I do think.
Go ahead.
I do think it is important to be gathering that information, you know, as things, you know, start this slow reopening. If we have specific individuals who, because of the work that they do or their own just personal skill sets or employment demands on what they do for us, if they're struggling more with working at home, maybe those can be some of the first that we start bringing back when we're able, and the ones who are having the most success working from home can be among the last. And hopefully with an agency of our size, we can kind of personalize this too, to do it safely and efficiently and in a way that allows us to be the most effective as an agency.
Okay, I agree. All right. So we will continue to wait for further clarification and I think just messaging staff if that's the case would be good, just to verify. I don't believe we have any other discussion matters. I don't see anything on the scheduling calendar. Was there anything else, Julie or Randy, that you'd like to add?
Not for me, thank you.
And no, sir, not for me either.
Okay, well then I believe we have concluded today's meeting. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.